Japan.
Thank
Brian Sherman for joining us on the show today.
I thought he's from Sherman Williams. That's why we requested him. I thought it was Sherman from Sherman.
I'm painting my house, right? And
Sherman from Ben Sherman.
We were trying to get a discount on paint. Is the only reason you're here, actually.
So, could you?
I've never heard that before.
Could you maybe just help me hook it up? Give me a discount.
Right. All right, Nate.
Are we doing it?
We're doing this.
I need to be a lot closer to this mic.
Yeah, you
have
do.
Have we been recording the whole time?
You know, for 4 or 5 hours now straight.
It's a legitimate question. Did we catch all that? That's great.
We caught something.
Conversations and me sitting 10 feet away from the mic, which is going to be amazing radio. Welcome to the Reflex Blue Show, everyone. Is this our last one from Hal?
This is the last one from Studio 280 before I move it back to another location.
Yeah, to our now distanced, nebulous internet location that we record our shows from now. But yeah, we are here. We're still at the Hal Conference. It's the last full day of the show, and we're here with oh, God, now that we've been joking about it.
David Sherwin.
I was just going to do it wrong. We're here
from
with David
Sherman and Williams.
We're here with David Sherwin from Frog Design. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine now.
We were discussing, did I hear that you're in the Austin office of Frog, or am I completely off on that one?
I am in the Seattle office currently, and I'll be in the San Francisco studio starting at the end of August.
So I was way off.
So you were way off.
How many offices does Frog have?
We have a number of studios. So in the U.S. alone, there's Austin, New York, San Francisco, and Seattle.
And you guys are all interactive. Is that correct, or mostly?
No, Frog is a global innovation firm.
Yeah.
So we do industrial design. We have do interaction design, design research, strategy. It's a integrated offering.
Yeah. I think my problem is I've met one person from Frog, and he did interactive in Austin, and so I just assume, they're all in Austin, and it's all interactive.
They're this Austin interactive firm.
Obviously, whatever James was doing was all everyone else there does.
And
they all work in the same office. They have to.
Yeah, well, one of the great things about working in a place like Frog is that it resists the interpretation. People are often multifaceted, so you may have someone who's able to do some development, some design, and they bring into it a love of, say, welding metal, and they bring into that a love of music, and all of that, it sometimes gets brought to bear into what they do at work. So,
well, I think that's I'm working at a place that is also quite large, a lot of studios peppered throughout, and they but we are digital. We are digital, interactive. We do websites, we do mobile, we do apps. And so Frog is like the antithesis of that. It's like everything. How is that? How much cross-pollination? We were just talking about walking down the hallway down here about how design will just pull in from all of these different avenues and like I said, get brought to bear on a project. So how much stuff do you guys do? Let's just start there, kind of cross-pollinating at the office. What's the product design group doing versus what's the interaction design group doing? And
it's kind of, so I think a good way to think about this is to think about it about the problems and to think about how the people work together. So when you think about the problems, Frog works on things where often they're big problems that you're looking into the future. You're thinking about how things might be in 3 to 5 years. And because of that, you can't look to what's happening in the world. You have to start to sort of think ahead. And because of that, when you're putting your head into that space, you need people that when they work together, it's not a matter of having different kinds of departments. And I know coming from working at a lot of marketing agencies and other interactive shops, when you get to a certain level of scale, sometimes you get to a point where you have the research that comes from the strategy and the research department, and then that's brought to the user experience people, and sometimes they'll do some of the research, and then they'll bring that to the visual designers, and then they'll bring that to the development. It's just this constant throwing over the wall. And I think what you see a lot happening, especially in product development, is that it's about putting all those different disciplines together, co-locating them, and having these teams where you're constantly bringing in all those opinions and sort of merging them together. So the whole process, you're trying to get as many of those different perspectives through it, and that way you're able to be doing some exploration with all those different skills those people bring to bear on those problems, and that's how you can start to get these really rich perspectives.
Yeah, this really kind of robust viewpoint on the problems.
Yeah.
That's Very cool.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Nice. So I was actually, when I was doing my research, and the way that internet and search works, you'll get something from a month ago and you'll get something from 2002. So I was actually having a little bit of trouble pinpointing exactly what you do at Frog. So tell us, like, what have you done and what do you do now? Because at one point you were, like, interaction.
Mm-hmm. So I was at Frog for about a year and 9 months. My role was a senior interaction designer. Mm-hmm. So what that means at a place like Frog is that I'm working within a team and I'm helping to lead doing the user experience work. Mm-hmm. So usually if you're doing a big project, you'd be there with the whole team and you'd have people coming in and out. You'd have people that had skills in visual design and some interaction. Mm-hmm. You'd have people that you might bring in someone to support on research. You might have an interaction designer supporting what I'm doing. You might bring in a technologist or a developer of some sort. And then you'd be essentially working with the client from the very beginning to the very end. And so you're sort of one of the threads of how you continue and realize what needs to happen on the project from a user experience standpoint. And
I'll tell you what, I have just begun, and it's not just anymore now, it's been a couple months, but I'm fascinated by user experience development, and I have a team that I work with now that does that. I'm on the art direction side, and we work together to design websites, and previous to that I was working for myself, and so I would sit down and be like, okay, the site will probably work like this, here's a little sitemap, and it would be terrible. It would look like a family tree or like an office, like flow chart of who's in charge.
Which was pretty amazing because at that time you were dealing with like 5-page websites.
Thank you. Yes. And now, and like my very first meeting at VML was with the user experience team, and I watched this. I watched our user experience guy just flow out this entire website on a whiteboard. He did this, just mapped it out just beautifully, perfectly. Here are all the different ways that I think that a person is going to interact with this information and drill deeper and cross-reference. And he did this in about 5 minutes. It probably would have taken me 2 to 3 days. I know I've told that story on the mic before, but it's still just, I just think it's so fascinating. It's like a completely, completely different kind of design, but it's so important.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much more to it, I think, than just the nuts and bolts of, what typeface are we going to use, or what color are we going to put things in, or how much space are we going to get.
Yeah, and a lot of those decisions you're describing, they happen because you've sort of planned out and structured the way the content needs to be realized.
Right.
And, like the sketching out of all that materials or the arrangement of it is a lot. Planning leads to the point that when you start to make decisions about the brand language you're going to use through whatever kind of interactive thing you're going to make, if it's a website, a mobile application, tablet, TV, and so forth, when you understand what the language is that you need to use, you start making those decisions, and that's the way that it's applied
to the
final making of what it is. So, but before that, you have to know why.
And that's
what the user experience designer is usually helping to establish why it should be made in a certain way. And they help to structure and plan that. So when you get there, you're like, this is what we're making.
We know exactly what we're making. And now we get to go build it. But now you're not senior interactive currently, right?
No, I'm now a principal designer. And what that means is that principal designers are able to choose an area of focus. So one of the areas that I've been focused on, I'm really excited about focusing on, is insight to idea. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of research at Frog, a lot of design research, and I work with teams doing design research. And that's a very exciting process where you can go out and immerse yourself, essentially follow people around and see how they live their lives. And take what you learn out of that and distill it and bring it into the design process and how to yield the ideas. So
this is actually some of the stuff that you're talking about in your book that just came out, right?
Yeah.
Let's read that title off. Let's do it. Let's do a sexy
This is
plug.
The Creative Workshop, 80 Challenges to Sharpen Your Design Skills. And you set up a nice cover here where you actually put the, are these the 80 answers right here?
Yeah.
So I don't even have to, I haven't even opened it because it's all right there on the cover.
Yeah. Grace Rang, who's the art director at HAL Books, designed the cover, and she did a really great job of capturing sort of like that, the spirit of the book. And the book looks on its surface like, oh, cool, these are, 80 challenges I can do and I'll learn how to do new stuff. But really the book is intended to teach people through making how to think about how to design, how to think about their process. So at the beginning of the book, it outlines some different tools like about brainstorming methods and things like time boxing, which is the use of short structured sprints to reach ideation goals. You take that and you start working through the challenges and you apply those tools to solving the challenges. And as you progress through the book, the problems become exponentially harder. It starts at the beginning, they're very tightly framed, very small, discrete problems. By the end, they're unbounded, wide open problems.
Are some, now, I mean, it's not an easy thing to come up with 80 different ones of these.
There's way more than 80. This is just the 80 that ended up in the book.
Okay, there it is. But, I was like, yo, no, it says 80 on the cover.
Is this something where you'd been working on this before, or did this kind of all come out and you had to gather
the way it worked is that when I was in graduate school for writing, one of my classmates was in a class called 80 Works or Instant Thesis in 7 Weeks. And they had to do something like this with writing. And I thought it would be really amazing if you could do something like this with design. And that was a really long time ago, like 14 years ago. So over the years, I just kept thinking, I really need to do something where you have a class where you do 80 design projects in an absurd amount of time. And it reached a point where I blogged about it on my blog Change Order. And
is that changeorder.com?
It's a changeorderblog.com.
Okay.
Yeah, and I wrote a post about it on the blogs. Like, this seems like a fun idea, and Hal contacted me, and they said, this seems like something that would be a really cool book if you teach the class. Would you consider also submitting a proposal to do the book? So I submitted a proposal for the class to Seattle Central Creative Academy, which is a 2-year lockstep design program that's in Seattle. And they didn't have space for it in the program, but we did an evening class version of it, so it was open to the community. And I just started coming up with challenges. My wife helped me a lot with this, Mary Painter Sherwin. She's a really great writer and speaker.
Oh, I thought you married Williams, and then that.
No, I didn't marry Williams.
Nope.
No relationship.
Partnership or something, okay.
So out of all of that, started going to class, and just essentially these students that I had, which are great sports, it's just like every week you're going to do 8 challenges, and they're going to be hard, and we're prototyping this as we go, and you're going to suggest ideas too, and we just went for it. It's like over the course of 11 weeks in the quarter, they had to do 80 projects.
How many students were involved with this?
Initially, it was just little groups. It was like 4 people. It was just like starting with just 4 students is very intimate. And just saying like, all right, we're going to come in here in the next 4 hours. We're going to do 5 design projects. Go.
That's great.
Yeah, it was a really fun experience. And from that, we were able to road test about 120 challenges, of which 80 made it into the book. And the students illustrated a lot of the book. A lot of the stuff that's in here came out of the class. I also worked with 40 outside designers where I sent them challenges, and they sent me back solutions to them, and they had to abide by the constraints, which is you get 60 minutes to create a paper robot and instructions for how someone else can build it. Then you give them just the instructions and the materials, and you see if what you did they can realize in, I think it's 8 minutes. So there's stuff like that where we did that in class, and people just had to just do it on the spot.
So you could just go there right now. You could open up your book. You could go do one of these and be done with it probably by the time we're done.
Yeah, I think I saw there was like a 90-minute one, but there's 30 minutes, 60 minutes. Like like you said, really short chunks. And what I really like about this, I was flipping through it this morning, because I hadn't had a chance to really sit down with it before, is that it's, you know, we focus so much on graphic design and that topic on that show, but these are really capital D design challenges here. It's not just any one particular discipline.
Yeah, it's all disciplines, and that's something that's rare, is that at least something that I really hungered for in my career was that I spent a lot of time working in a very graphic design capacity, but my training when I was in school originally, I studied systems engineering, and I was doing design at the same time on the side for money, and then I ended up flipping into an English degree because I'm crazy.
Really using both sides of the brain.
And then back to English.
I've always been a writer, and I've always been fascinated by design, and I've always been fascinated by systems. And so I loved the idea of the systems, but the engineering, that didn't speak to me as much as just the designing of the system rather than building it all in, in discrete detail. So when it came to thinking about this book, what I really wanted to do with the class in the book was I wanted students to walk in and be like, I'm not quite sure where I want to go in my career as a designer, and strip off the title of graphic or interactive or industrial, and just be like, any designer could take this class. and they could come in and they do all disciplines of design. And I honestly raised my hand and said, I haven't done work in some of these disciplines. I'm going to be there with you, fumbling through it, figuring out how to do this. And at the end of it, you'll probably have a nose for what you want to do with your career. Yeah. So as an example, one of my students, Donnie Dinch, he's a fantastic packaging designer, but he worked through the class and realized that he's really excited about user experience design and doing interactive work. And he started a startup called Scoopola that just got venture funding through 500 Startups and moved down to the Bay Area. And like, that was one of those things where, like, sometimes spending so much time trying all these different kinds of things, most designers get a job and they go into a really deep vein of just like a certain kind or discipline of design, right, and you often do get a chance to just go across them all. So that was something I really tried to focus on in the book, is to make it as broad as possible, because you just don't get a chance to do that in your work.
Well, I think that just having a task to force yourself out of your one particular way of thinking is just a really effective way, especially over 80 challenges or 120 challenges or whatever, to really bring a lot more like width and breadth to your problem solving skills. Mm-hmm. You're not going to look at things the same way. You're not going to try to fit it into the Helvetica box. So how can I put Helvetica into this somewhere? You're gonna have that larger step back to again, as we kind of keep coming back to, really solve problems, not just
focus. Because, and if you think about it from a business standpoint, and this is something that one of my collaborators on a recent talk that I gave, David Conrad, said, it's like, you know, more valuable problems. You have to just focus on, like, the bigger problems are the more valuable problems,
right,
like the problems that haven't been solved yet. And the analogy that we were using is that, you may go and get an umbrella, and there's I think it's like 3 or 4 people that work in the U.S. Patent Office that just go through patent applications for things that are related to umbrellas, from keeping people wet. And they have some, so, you know, great, there's another, all these umbrellas that are being going to put out into the world that you sell for $8 to $10, and they break, all umbrellas break or vanish at a certain time. There's a quantum hole that they get sucked into.
Like left socks.
Exactly, like your socks or whatever. Yeah. And what happens is that you have someone like a Gore-Tex coming in, and they're just like, we've created this proprietary thing that you put it on and you'll never be wet ever.
Yeah.
And they can sell that for $400 to $500 because there's value to the problem. There's so much value that people are just rushing to the bottom to create things that will keep you from getting wet. But the thing that is most valuable is the thing where they've invested in creating something where it solves the problem perfectly. And there is, so it's kind of like, I'm a big advocate for designers when they're working on whatever they're working on, is like, you may be starting smaller, focusing on that discrete thing, but then over time you're going to see that that's part of something that's a much bigger problem. And you, if you can identify that, that's when you get to haul yourself from the point that you may be just helping to fix a thing here or there and dealing with the whole problem. And that's really where you can earn your place.
Right. Wow. Okay, Donovan, are we ready for break?
We're
going to
take a break
here,
and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the How Interactive conference, I guess.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Sweet.
Now, the How Interactive conference is new this year. It's some, I assume
November,
it was saying
early
it's
November.
December, I thought.
Nope. November 2nd through 4th in San Francisco.
November 2nd to 4th in San Francisco, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so that's convenient. Great.
Yeah, so
he's got to fly in from Austin.
I'm going to fly through Austin to go back to where I live.
Right.
There you go. Yeah, I just got to take a layover. I'm heading home from the office. I just got to take a layover in Austin. Then I'll be home, sweetheart.
Uh-huh.
The How Interactive Conference, it's new. Mm-hmm. As I've just learned, you're on the advisory board for it. So, let's contrast a little bit. We're at the How Conference. It's a very general conference, was what I was just going to say.
I assume this is more like the Die Line or the Creative Freelancer part of it, where it's, is everybody in one room, or is this going to be larger and there'll be different sessions?
It's going to be lockstep, so everybody will be in the same room through all the same sessions, and they're going to build on each other. So by the time you get to the end of it, you'll see sort of, for example, we're going to have Whitney Hess come in, and she'll talk about what user experience is and how to think about you do user experience work. But then I'll be following her and talking about how that fits into how you do the practice of information architecture, and getting nitty gritty about how you take some of those principles of how to think about it, how it all fits together, and what you do in the making of a website or a mobile application or something like that.
Right, right. Okay. So, much more focused on the interactive end. So what What do you want people to get out of that experience? I mean, when people leave, what's your ideal goal for their kind of mental state?
My ideal goal is that someone would walk in at the beginning and they would be someone that may be really strong at something like print design, mm-hmm. and to be interested about understanding how that would translate into doing interactive, meaning not just websites, mm-hmm. but thinking about how that could also translate to things like applications, mobile sites, mm-hmm. mobile applications, tablet, and so forth. And when they walk out the door, they're just like, I kind of understand now how it all fits together, like what you'd need to do to be a really strong interactive designer. I see where my strengths and weaknesses are currently and what things I need to learn about in order to go down the rabbit hole and really get to the place I want to do so I can meet my goals mm-hmm. of what I want to create as a designer.
Man, awesome. Okay, because I didn't really know. Like what is that conference all about?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that I've actually heard of a conference that has that kind of like structure beginning to end.
I'm not aware of a conference that does this kind of thing for this audience yet. Mm-hmm. So we're prototyping it, and this is our first chance for this board and the great people at HAL and the speakers. We're bringing in a really good body of talent, mm-hmm. and we're hopeful that as we structure it, people will be able to come in and really, over time, get situated. And one of the things that I'm trying to contribute as well is, since I have this expertise in developing these challenges, is that there will be challenges through the course of the conference. Mm-hmm. And when people teach certain specific things, they'll be able to say, like, and great, you're going to do this thing that contributes to getting towards this end goal for the challenge that's for the whole conference.
Wow.
So
that sounds like a lot of fun.
I'm hopeful it will be a ton of fun.
Yeah.
So that's what we're working on right now, is putting together all that material for it.
Getting it all ready, mm-hmm. Up in, again, November 2nd through the 4th in San mm-hmm. Francisco.
Yeah.
So, and you're here, obviously, here at HAL now,
yes.
at HAL proper. And I actually, are you speaking tomorrow?
I'm on a panel tomorrow.
Great.
That's about HAL designers are going to think about how they're going to use technology in the future and what technologies may be available to them in terms of what they may be designing for.
So if it's okay to say that this interview is not going to air for weeks after the conference, can you spoil some of that for us?
Actually, the questions are all provided by the people who come to HAL,
okay.
so I haven't had insight into what questions yet were going to be asked.
Right, okay, fair enough.
But I can tell you one of my perspectives, especially with the kinds of work that I've been doing, is that before I started working at a place like Frog, I would think about whether I needed to create an application or a website or a mobile app and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I think that a new world order that's coming for designers, especially designers that want to move from doing, like you're saying, focusing on the front end to focusing on the system, is how you think about how you design services that drive different experiences that you're looking to design.
Mm-hmm.
And I think learning to think about those services requires spending time with people that work on the development side and people that work in business, because those are things that sometimes can be a bit more abstract, but they're really crucial so that you don't get locked into thinking like, well, this is an app and this is an app.
Right.
Sometimes it's about creating platforms and creating services. And that's something that will be more and more prevalent over time. And it's something that we're going to end up having to grapple with, I think, holistically as a profession.
I think clear front runners in that. You look, what's described as the closed loop of like Apple's iTunes, iPod.
That's an ecosystem.
Ecosystem. Yeah. I think that Nike Plus does a really, really good job of that developing a service for runners as well.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't run at all until I found that, and it's like, oh, it has turned running into a video game for me. So I got challenges and goals, but then they also do a really good job of kind of looping in.
Mm-hmm.
Another whole sort of like product ecosystem into that. So
yeah, it makes it gameful.
Yeah,
to use Jane McGonigal's phrase.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go.
I love it. Well, we're gonna take a final break and come back. We've got one last question.
Mm-hmm.
We would have two, but we don't have a.
We don't have any guests after you. You're our last guest. You get our last.
You
previous
you
guest
are the headline
question.
Spot.
Right.
The showstopper.
Right.
As it would be called. Our past guest was Jessica Hish.
How's Austin?
Yeah, Jessica Hish. She asked how Austin is and if she can get a discount on paint. But actually, she asked, will you hire some of my fiance's friends from the SBA interaction department? is all she wanted to know.
And my answer to her is, send me their resumes, please.
Yeah,
I'm actually something I was going to say is that I'm here looking for visual design talent to hire.
I saw that tweet before.
Anyone who wants to give me their card or resume, it's just like Frog is always looking for great talent. So
yeah, and she didn't even care about her fiance because I guess he's going to be working at Facebook. So maybe
she thought about it. She's like, you should make him a really good offer so that I can stay in New York. But then, but she's actually moving to San Francisco as well. Because apparently her fiance is a super great and is going to work for Facebook. So
that's super fantastic.
Facebook products. So mm-hmm. like hats. I think.
What?
I think
he's, are you
I think
serious?
He's, no, I don't think so. Probably not. But that's
like anything
let's
else
think about this.
Bennett,
as though it's 1985.
I was reading something on it. Was it Gizmodo or something about the Facebook phone? So maybe he's going to work on that.
Oh my God! I haven't even. There's going to be a Facebook
phone? Well, it's rumored.
Okay.
There's a lot of things that are rumored. What's your favorite rumor that you know isn't true but you like hearing it? You got any?
Mine was the new Nintendo that actually was turned out to be confirmed in all of its craziness. The Wii U, do you know about that at all? They took the Wii, they've given it
basically
an
iPad.
Yeah, it's like an iPad with joysticks on the side mm-hmm. that streams video from the TV or from the system to the TV to the screen, and it looks just nuts. Like, I remember reading about that beforehand. Like, there's no way it's going to have a 7-inch screen on your controller. You're going to do that on the TV and on the thing. Like, that's crazy internet rumors. And they showed it, and that's what it is.
I was a big fan of the ThinkGeek April Fool's Day Playmobil set of the Apple Store. And then you could also buy the pack of characters just to stand in a line.
The went with it though. It's just like the actual thing was awesome, but they made a video where they talked through the process by which they made it, and they sort of aped or spoofed all the different specific things they do in Apple ads. So that was really fun.
Like the Johnny Ive interview. We were thinking about aluminum. You know. Yeah.
That's, just like that.
That's huge. That's great. Donovan, this is
David.
It.
Yeah, David, it's been a pleasure. It's been great to meet you.
Great. Thanks. It was great to meet you, too. Thanks for having me on the program.
Taking time and hanging out with us. I also want to ask one last question about your shirt.
Yes.
Why is it the one isolated white coffee cup. Is that a paper cup or is that a porcelain cup?
This is a latte cup.
Oh, okay.
Could be porcelain or paper, depending on your desire.
Yeah, you've got a grid of coffee cups. Yes. They're all different styles. They're all gray except for mm-hmm. the white one in the
corner. Oh, yeah. So this is a...
Oh, God, because
this is
Seattle.
This is a T-shirt. Yeah, a Seattle T-shirt.
I see it.
Yeah, it's part of the Seattle coffee culture is, you know, that's my contribution.
I thought Starbucks was from Austin, too.
Yeah, Donovan, I
seems that everything is from Austin.
Explore your worldview here a little bit more. All right. Thanks to everyone for listening. Mm-hmm. Thanks again to the wonderful people at How Magazine, especially our buddy Sue Ann for setting up all of this over the past, are we going to be like 8 weeks, 12 weeks of shows here?
I don't even remember.
It's pretty ridiculous. So big, big thanks to the How crew. And we'll be back soon with more from the Reflex Blue Show.
36point.com.
I was digging through the podcasts and just like, this is quality shit.
Yeah.
Whoa, we actually did research before you said yes to this show, and you still said yes. We like you. We like you, David Sherman. Sherwin.
Oh, God.
Done.
Okay, I'm
all
gone.
The goodwill has evaporated.
The goodwill has been evaporated.
Yeah.